Thank you, Terry. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for your love and grace, which leads us through our days, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would speak to our very minds. We ask that you would draw us closer to yourself as we continue to worship you. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. I want to start off with a quiz today. But first, if you're listening online, take out your sermon notes. Or if you're listening online, there's a PDF file that you can download and follow along with the sermon notes. On the other side is a sheet which has meditations you can continue on the week throughout the week with. Like I said, I want to start with a quick quiz, and the quiz begins like this. Who is the president that said a date which lives in infamy? Who's the president that stated that? That's right, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And why did he give that speech? Why did he say those words? Because Pearl Harbor had just been bombed, which caused the U.S. then to get fully involved in what? World War II. We know most of these things because it is such a huge event that happened on the world stage. Here's the full quote. Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. Do you see how on this Memorial Day Sunday, just a few words can remind us of a key moment in our nation's history? Just a few words remind us of a key moment in our nation's history. People just naturally want to mark down life or key moments in life. It's just a natural thing. Fred M. Jones joined the Navy at 19 years old. Over the course of the next 11 years in the service, he would marry, he would have two children. He was serving as a machinist mate, first class on the USS Oklahoma, and in 41, the USS Oklahoma was attacked and sunk. Just recently this week, due to DNA testing, Fred's body was identified, and his remains were returned to Port Huron, Michigan, where he was buried. We know he is there because there is a grave marker with his name on it. There is a key marker telling us that Fred M. Jones lays here. Now, this idea of key moments or marking down key moments isn't new to any of us and has been going on for almost as long as time. We mark birthdays, we mark special graduations and anniversaries, holidays, first communions, confirmation. How many here have a calendar at home that does not say 2017 on it? And you keep it because there's some special events that you had marked on it. And it's kind of a memento. I was going through some stuff and I found an edition of the Detroit News. The Detroit News, when the Pistons won their first NBA back in 1989. Why? Why do I have it? To mark down a special event or a special moment in time. You see, we keep items to mark a special moment in our lives. So, how do you mark special moments beyond a date in a calendar? How do you mark special moments beyond a newspaper clipping? And really, how do you mark spiritual moments, special spiritual moments in your life with God? In today's scripture, the Israelite nation were about to have a key moment with God. It had been nearly 800 years since Abraham had been called by God and told that his family tree would become a great nation. It had been more than 440 years since the Israelites, who numbered around 70 people at that time, lived in the land of Canaan, who lived in the promised land. And finally, the Hebrew people, who were gone from the land for 440 years, now numbered somewhere around 2 million people. are about to enter the promised land for the first time, as I said, in 440 years. You see, this was a key moment in their life. And as a nation, a long-awaited arrival, so to speak. When we lived in the UP a number of years ago, anytime I took a trip down to the lower part of Michigan, I would eventually make my way back up. And a key indicator or a key moment in my trip home was when I rounded 75 and I saw what? The Mackinac Bridge. Because it told me I was almost home. Now, to get into the land, the Israelites had to cross the Jordan River at flood stage, and there was no Mackinac Bridge to cross over it. Now, biblically, we're not told other than that it was in flood stage how deep or how wide the Jordan was at that time. But what we understand is that something significantly special had to happen if they were to cross, which God did perform, I would say, powerfully, stopping the flow of the Jordan River and drying the ground. So after crossing, the Lord told Joshua, well, read it with me. Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you are staying tonight. So what do you think Joshua did? Exactly what the Lord told him to do. Do you think saying no was an option for Joshua? To the one who just supernaturally stopped the flow of water, dried the ground so that 2 million people could cross over from one side to the other at an uncrossable place just moments before. I think not. Like for the Israelites, other people in the Bible and others still throughout the Bible, we need to note that God does the impossible. God does the impossible in our lives every day. Every day. If we would just open up our spiritual eyes. Open up our spiritual eyes to see it. It could be physical healings or strengthening us to endure difficult moments in life. Or keeping us from harm and danger. How many times have you heard someone say, I was delayed for a moment, but then I got up in my car and I was driving and there was an accident that just happened moments before. You know, could that have been God delaying us so that we might not have experienced an accident? God also provides emotional healings, often in the form or a result of forgiveness that was unexpected. And my favorite is when God brings a scripture to mind when I need it most, when God speaks to my heart when I need to hear him. You see, God does the seemingly impossible in our lives if we would only look for it. Back in the day, so what's the day, right? Lucille Ball? Lucille Ball, remember the Lucy show? Lucille Ball was married to Desi Arnaz, and together they were in the 1953 movie, The Long, Long Trailer. Who saw that? Oh, good. At each place they stopped, she would do what? Collect a stone or a rock. Stone or a rock, commemorating their stay at a particular part. And toward the end of their trip, they almost die trying to drive their trailer, this long, long trailer, through cliff-hanging mountains. Part of the problem, of course, was that the rocks were inside, that she had collected were all inside, mementos of different places she had been. These little, not little pebbles, but these 20-pound stones were shifting in the trailer, causing a great imbalance to the trailer and endangering their very lives. For some reason, it's the dramatic scene where Desi finds the rocks and begins pitching them out over the cliff so that they would be okay. And that, for some reason, struck me all these years later. Each of those rocks, a memory being pitched, never to be remembered again. We have to note that the stones that the Israelites placed on their shoulders from the riverbed were also to be used like a memory. In fact, more than just a memory, each rock was a memory aid, a memory aid. Well, read the rest with me. To serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that they are...
The flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord.
I'm glad somebody's reading well today. The purpose of the stones, we have to note that the purpose of the stones was to mark a key moment with God. To mark a key moment with God. More than that, the stones served as a purpose for future generations asking the question, what do these stones mean? What are these stones here for? You know, if you think hard enough, I'm sure somebody has asked you, why do you have something in your home or this memento, this knickknack? Why do you have this memento? And it launches you into a story about what this particular item means to you. Recalling the circumstance about how this came to be in your possession as a reminder of something that was important to you. You see, we all have these types of things around the house or in our car. I thought about fuzzy dice, right? Something that's special that has some meaning to you. And like these things, God would remind or use these stones to remind the people, to remind the Israelites through Joshua. It says, in the future when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them. Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Read the rest with me. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. You see, God reminds them that not only did the flow of water stop, not only did the river dry up, but the ground they walked on was dry. I don't know about you, but you would think it wouldn't be something that would be easily forgotten. Do you? Here in the U.S., we're pretty prolific about putting up memorials to remind us of events that have taken place in life. You can go to the place where Thomas Edison created the light bulb. You can go to a World War II monument or a monument from any world war. You can go to where Abraham Lincoln read at his fireplace. We have memorials all over the place. And I think it's because as people, we tend to have short memories. And like the Israelites, we need memorials to remember key moments in our lives and in our lives with God. Last week, a number of us took a church field trip to the Holocaust Museum Center, and at one of the entrances was this train car. When you look at this car, what does it remind you of? Suffering. What does it remind you of? Death. I couldn't imagine the chaos, the unimaginable horror of being herded into one of these cars. And looking at this car causes me to remember that people died because of someone's idea that some people were less than human than others. And one of the statements we heard a number of times from the docent and from the Holocaust survivor was this. We show these items. We tell you these stories to remind you so that you will know. So that all people will remember this event so it will never happen again. So it will never happen again. God had Joshua arrange these rocks so that they might never forget what had happened at the Jordan. In this instance, it wasn't a tragedy like the Holocaust, but well read with me, it was this. He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God. People will ask, what are these stones here for? And someone will answer, well, there's this time when God, and finish the story. How do you remember God in your life? How do you remember when the Lord has powerfully worked in your life? How do you keep in front of your mind that the Lord is so powerful that you might always fear or revere the Lord your God? Because as people, just like in Joshua's day, we need reminders in our lives, physical reminders of the Lord's power. As I told the children this morning, this Sunday is Ascension Sunday and is a powerful key moment in world history, not just biblical history, in world history. It has been witnessed and it has been documented by those who were present that Jesus actually rose in the air before their very eyes, so that there's no doubt that it happened. And I'm not just talking Jesus going back up to God the Father in heaven. I'm talking about the fact that it marks the completion. It marks the completion of God's redemption for all people. Jesus' duty here on earth, in a physical sense, was done, completed. And Jesus said, he needed to leave so that the Father and the Son could move on to the next key moment on the world stage. And that is the giving of the Holy Spirit, God entering into our lives as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So what do you have in life? What do you have in your life? Or better yet, what are the stones to remember your key moments with God? What are the stones to remember your key moments with God that you have around your house? What, when you look at it, wear it, hear it, reminds you not only of the power of God we serve, but the love of God, and reminds you of what God has done in your life? Many of you see this cross that I wear on Sundays, and it may be just a cross to you, but it reminds me of three key things in life. Two are key moments with God. One is just a good, well, I'll say it. It reminds me that I'm loved. It was a gift from my parents as I became commissioned in the United Methodist Church. I wear this every time I preach. But the two key moments that it reminds me of as a result of, it reminds me that God called me to be a pastor, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And secondly, it reminds me how God has called me to equip you, the saints, to equip you, the saints, to do the ministry of the church. I have other stones in my life that remind me of key moments with God, but what are yours? What are your key moments? What reminds you of how God has moved in your life to become a believer? What reminds you of the key moment when God became more real to you in your life? We have those moments in our life when God becomes more real to us. One of those moments for me was an NIV Bible that I bought because God had become more important to me, and I went out and I purchased a Bible. That's always a reminder of that time in my life where God worked powerfully. You know what I was thinking? I could imagine that if you went home today, you could get some little stones, little pebbles, about 12 of them, in fact. Get a dozen. Buy some super glue. You know where I'm going? And super glue those rocks together and make a monument to God. Because God is doing powerful work in your life. And then put it somewhere prominent in your home. Mantel place, on the table, coffee table. So that when someone comes over, they say, hey, what are those stones for? Right? Or maybe get some smaller stones. Super glue them together so that they form a pile that doesn't break apart. and put it on a desk at work or wherever you work, so that someday somebody might come to your desk and say, "Hey, what are those stones for?" Which then gives you an opportunity to share the importance that you place in God in your life. Or maybe it's about a specific event where God drew you to Him, or healed you, or did something immensely important in your life that you can then share with others. What are these stones for? For what purpose? So that you can tell your story of God in your life. That's what people need to hear, your story of God in your life. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you have done in and through our lives, and also the reminders that you have placed in our lives of some of the amazing healings, of some of the amazing moments where you have worked and we have seen you working in our life to do something immensely cool, to do something that needs to be shared. And so God, help us to look for these stones in our life. Help us to remember those events which are stone worthy, that we might love you, that we might serve you, that we might always remember you. We thank you, Father, Son, and Spirit, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came, who loved us, who died and then rose from the dead, who ascended into heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said,